beautiful Starship Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis on for another day of broadcast. It's Lance.
Yes. Hope everyone had a good weekend, treated their moms really well, as their mom, all moms deserve.
Happy belated, Anna and
Thank
Judy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Happy belated.
Yeah, me too. For me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
It was a good
way
one.
Way to beat us to the punch.
Yeah. It was a good one. Good.
Yes. I know I was complaining about my kids, I think, on Friday.
I believe you were, yeah.
Yeah, they stepped up to the plate.
They did.
Did they hear
if
you?
If I was going to bet, I would have bet on them. Know what I'm saying?
Oh. I see what you did there,
yeah,
Judy.
Yeah.
By the way,
I would have bet on them.
I tried to contain my excitement about this Supreme Court ruling today on Windy City
Live.
Where
were you when you received the news?
I'll never forget where I was.
Did you bet on the outcome of it?
I did. I had Ruth Bader Ginsburg 3-1 to win the whole thing.
Notorious RBG came through for you.
Yeah, she was leading at the clubhouse turn. Listen, this is the most ridiculously easy thing to do. There, you know, they say, I mean, the numbers, they'll never really know for sure, but they think that there's $1 trillion in illicit gambling activity in the United States in a year.
I believe that.
I'd say there's $1 trillion a week during NFL season.
Feels like it.
Yeah. I don't know anybody who doesn't wager on the NFL.
It feels like one of those things that when we look back in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, we're all going to be like, "Wow, remember when we couldn't bet on sports? How weird and crazy that was!" Because it just makes sense to
no,
do this.
It's like in 20 years, we might be there. Might be the United States of China. and we might there might be a Chinese guy like coming to your door. Where the money? Well, you got my money. There may be that, and it may be because we've gambled our way really into a total disaster here. But I don't think this is actually going to increase the amount of gambling. It may start gambling earlier. That could happen.
And what you think it'll just move to more legitimate channels from
the bookie?
From the well,
yeah, the bookie's going to be the problem.
They're even they say there's mob influence in sports betting and other unsavory types.
About the last thing they got left, yeah. That and the ladies are the last things that the mob really is involved in.
Don't you think once the government gets a hold of it, they'll kind of ruin it, though? And people will still want to go back to the bookies?
Well, they said about marijuana and that stuff. Yeah, but the bookies charge fees.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Like taxes?
Yeah,
bookie taxes?
Yes, essentially. They do.
So now the bookies would be operating in what direct competition to the other channels, right? And so it's going to be they can still operate.
It'll be online. It's already online. The bookies have moved to online anyway.
Oh, they have.
Yeah. So not that I'm aware of this, but what I've heard tell, you just go ahead and there's tons of gambling sites that you can go to and you gamble on them, but you don't put a credit card or anything in. There's a guy who
let's use some Bitcoin.
Yeah, you do. You get right on that.
Well, now the leagues are going to want some of this action as well. The NBA and MLB want 1% of all wagers, essentially. That could change things for people.
Why are the leagues against it?
They're not.
Oh, because that was in all the stories that said the problem would be the leagues won't like it.
No, they want it, but they want a piece of the action.
You just have to start regulating the players so that you don't have interests going against interests and winning.
That's been the concern forever, but that's just...
I don't know if anybody believes, I hate to bring it up this year, our first year back with this particular franchise, but I don't know if anybody remembers 100 years ago.
It did happen.
Right, but that was
on the south side.
When players are making like $20, for a week. Now they're making so much money. I mean, there would have to be a lot of money to influence some of these players when you're making $10 million. Really? They're going to be a backroom dealing to out four times?
Yeah, but guys who are making league minimums is where you
$500,000? $700,000?
It doesn't go like it used to.
There's a lot of money in the gambling side of things, too. Just look at how many of them have become such significant advertisers for the leagues. I mean, you look at FanDuel and all these others.
But they knew this was coming. This has been going on for years. New Jersey was the test case in this. And FanDuel and what's the other one?
DraftKings.
DraftKings.
MLB has a direct partnership with DraftKings already.
Well, because they knew that.
Yeah.
Turner Broadcasting.
MLB's been spearheading this in terms of the pro leagues. They've been the one that has really been kind of all over this, preparing for it.
Yes. And our friends out at VSiN.
Yeah.
Musburger knew what was happening here.
He did.
You know, this is...
That was perfect timing.
This is pretty good.
Yeah.
This was going to, by the way, if you're just wondering, because we never actually explained what happened there.
We just assumed.
The Supreme Court today ruled that it is unconstitutional for states to ban gambling based on federal. The federal government can't ban gambling. It would be state by state.
Right. The tweet from Governor Christie, a great day for the rights of states and their people to make their own decisions. Yeah. New Jersey citizens wanted sports gambling, and we got them.
So states' rights. Yay!
It's not up to the Supreme Court to tell us no.
They said New Jersey could start taking bets in a matter of a couple weeks already.
You know, whenever a governor invokes the idea of states' rights, the state is up to no good, right? Whenever they do that. It's slavery or gambling are the two things that they invoke states' rights. Yay!
Yeah, you can't tell us what to do.
Yeah, go blank yourself or legal drugs. All right. So, when
can we bet in Illinois?
Well, that's okay. We're going to 6 o'clock. It's going to start at 6 o'clock. Not tonight. We don't start betting in Illinois at 6 o'clock. We have guests on tonight at 6 o'clock to discuss this. Yeah. People who are going to be now going down to the legislature to go ask them. To make it legal for us to sports gamble here in Illinois.
You can lead the protest down there or the whatever they're called.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead the protest.
Rose picketing down in Springfield.
More gambling. More sports gambling.
It's my right.
No big vig. No big vig. All right. Let's find out from Judy what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Fly to the front of the line at LitFest June 9th and June 10th with a Fest Pass. Get yours before they're gone. Printers Row, litfest.org/festpass.
Demetrius Ivory is standing by in the WGN TV Weather Center.
Nice.
Where there's weather to be centered. And it turns out, I mean, I was already kind of last night. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not generally as nervous as I appear to be. Huh. But I know, but don't say anything. But in the middle of the night, that whatever came through,
yeah, it was serious.
It was like holy. It
scared my dog.
Yeah, it scared. I got in the closet. I went in the hamper. That was how crazy it was. I mean, it was like I didn't know what to do. So there was. So now today was kind of bad during the morning. It's been beautiful this afternoon, but it's going to get bad again tonight, right?
Yeah, those storms that we saw last night, I mean, a lot of them were severe. In many areas, over 2.5 or nearly 2.5 inches fell in just a few hours' time. So once you get that, and our boundary is still here, and you're talking about some sunshine, you're basically just kind of adding more fuel to this whole thing here. Now you got the moisture, you get some sunshine, it'll create some lift. You still got your front out there, and then you have the potential for seeing another round, which is going to come our way actually very shortly. We expect more powerful storms to come through with possibly large hail, some strong winds, and heavy downpours again. So that hamper,
Get back in the hamper.
Yeah, get back in the hamper tonight.
Yeah, need that here in the studio maybe even just in case. When are they supposed to come in?
Well, right now we're seeing them west of I-39. They're going to creep toward the east at about 40 miles per hour. So, I'm putting them right around Lake County and right around 6 p.m. And that's an issue there. Des Plaines River at Gurnee is almost at flood stage. It's at 6.82 feet and flood stage is 7. So, they're right. They don't have much wiggle room already. And I think any more rain is going to kind of take them over that. So, folks there should know typically what you see when your river reaches flood stage. Be prepared for that tonight. Advisory there. Des Plaines looks okay right now. Des Plaines is at the river at Des Plaines is at 12 feet.
There's a watch for that, though.
There is an advisory for that. And it's expected to reach minor flooding stage, which is 15.5 feet into Wednesday. So another 3-foot rise there. That's at Des Plaines. So certainly some issues there with these thunderstorms. Tonight's not a big tornado type of scenario. Can't rule it out. But it's not a big tornado scenario. It's more of a large hail, strong winds, heavy rain, and localized flooding type thing.
Okay. Oh, thanks. Yeah. And does this continue on through the night?
It will continue through the night. As a matter of fact, we're going to do the handoff sometime late tonight. Morgan Kochmeyer is already messaging me like, hey, I'll come in. And they're like, I think we're going to.
Wow, that shows some real initiative right there.
Yeah, right. I'm going to hand her this grenade late tonight, which is, some of the heaviest of the rain could occur really late tonight. I have some models that are showing over a half inch right around early tomorrow rush hour. So
So we could, overnight. So I got to get back in the, I should just sleep in the hamper.
Just
that's what you're saying.
Sleep in the hamper.
Okay.
Make sure that it'll float. You know, that might be helpful. And yeah. That's a pretty big hamper you have there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you get yourself in
What are you saying
there?
About me? This is, you know what I do, though? I curl up. I get into the, you know, the
fetal
I,
position.
Fetal position.
Well, sort of fetal, but I do the sort of doggy style where I'm sort of, what? You know, like, I'm sort of like my legs wrapped around my head.
This
it's
is
weird.
Getting very personal.
Yeah.
What are we talking about again?
What?
Yeah. Okay. We all got the visual now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that
happens when you got to fit in the hamper, and then you got to shake uncontrollably.
Okay.
And you know what? My owners didn't get me any kind of like a thunder shirt, so I don't know what to do.
Let me tell you
thunder
something.
Vest.
Those people are going to hate me right now, but I was basically a tester for thunder shirt. They sent one to me a long time ago, like when they first started off.
Mm-hmm.
You
sure.
know, they wanted coverage. You know, they
sure.
So I said, yay, freebie. Took it home to my dog. It didn't last 30 minutes.
Did your dog eat it?
What happened?
She just focused on it. She's like, oh, thank you for giving me something to chew. Rip this thing to shreds.
Would you put it on her?
Yeah, though you Velcro it on their little bodies. So they can't get to
it. And you're supposed to tighten. Yeah, you're supposed to tighten it. You know, when it's I don't know when their blood circulates too much or something.
What did you what kind of dog do you have? Big or small?
It was a small dog. She's 27-pound beagle mixed with Whippet, and she was she was a nut job. Whenever
yeah,
it comes
yeah.
to
I can tell you right now, just based on those two right there, it howls and hates itself all at the same time. It has nothing but energy.
What are they
apart.
Supposed to do? The little thunder vest that you put on your dog.
What they say is, and they've been quite successful since then. So, and I never submitted a review because I just didn't want to do that. You
okay.
know,
right.
but what they're supposed to do is, I guess, calm them, almost like you're hugging them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like the constant pressure.
They're safe. Yeah,
all
they're
that safe. Did was focus my dog's attention, and she didn't last 30 minutes with this thing.
Whippets are not known for their long attention span.
No.
I just want to say that. So they have the beagle, and beagles are constantly looking for something to do.
Yeah.
So there's you got the chewing, you got the, and maybe there's another dog 6 miles away howling,
uh-huh.
so they have to jump in on that.
That's very distracting.
And she then was like a genius on Adderall.
Yeah.
You know,
that must have been a totally, completely genius. Those are two real smart breeds, but they're mm-hmm. but they're slightly independent.
Yeah,
so, woo, good luck to you, my friend.
A little weird. She's a head case, but she ripped that thunder shirt apart.
All
so,
right.
Oh, and do they have those for adults? Could Ro get a thunder shirt? Or those
I'm gonna
just
get one.
A doggy thing.
I'm gonna get one. I'm just gonna crawl up in the hamper like I do every night. When
just
it
be
starts.
Careful how you search for it because.
But
right
it's funny.
Now your description.
It's funny. I crawl in the hamper about an hour and a half before the storm actually mm-hmm. hits. Too. I don't know how I know to do that, but I
that's
do.
Strange. You have
yeah,
that sense.
I do. Wow. I have it.
You know, I used to love thunderstorms until my
you
career
had a dog.
In meteorology. Well, the dog killed it too. But the career in meteorology. Now I'm like, you know, people are like, oh, that's a beautiful storm, and I'm like, well, if you hear lightning, if you hear thunder, you can be struck by lightning. We should get inside right now.
Oh, so you're that guy.
Yeah.
A lot
okay.
of fun and
people
picnics.
Are like, come on, this
all
is
right.
a pretty storm.
I'm going to tell a little story out of school because
okay.
I can tell this now because he's a dear friend and he's also retired, so it does not matter.
Okay.
So I was playing in a golf tournament with Jerry Taft,
mm-hmm.
and we were in the southwest suburbs, and a storm, middle of the afternoon, you know, one of those middle summer, 4 o'clock mm-hmm. thunderstorms comes through, and it was big, and you could see the gigantic, what do you call that, shelf cloud or whatever that's kind of heading towards you. Shelf wall. The wall cloud. And I'm like, well, we should go in. He goes, don't worry about it. And he looks at his radar and his phone. He goes, we're fine. So when I'm like, no, seriously.
So then you feel good because
so
the weatherman tells you that.
Right. Well, I should know better. And so the lights, and so the sky's lighting up and everything's going. I go, should we go in now? And he goes, okay, follow me. And we literally, actually, I was in his cart. We literally... We parked under a tree.
What?
Oh, really?
And I'm like, wait
what
a second.
What are we doing?
I go, I can see the clubhouse from here. He goes, don't worry about it. Under a tree, you're fine. I'm like, that's the last place you're supposed to be is under a tree. I might as well have gotten a chain link fence, put it down, and stood on it.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was like, I don't even, and I'm
what
like, what are we doing
do?
Here? Because he goes, just get in the cart, you're fine.
You're fine.
You're fine.
You got insurance, don't
I'm,
you?
Right. I'm like, what? You have a death wish. This is why
ridiculous.
I crawl into the hamper when it thunderstorms.
Yeah.
Do not
Sizzler.
Trust us.
Yeah, exactly. That's Jerry. Yeah.
I wouldn't quit golfing for a thunderstorm either. Come on.
Yeah, well, we did. Then he goes, it'll pass. Get in the window. What's wrong with you?
Did it ever pass?
Yeah, no, I'm still out there. All right, Demetrius, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll
Thanks,
see you tonight.
Thank you much.
All right, Demetrius Ivory, WGN TV weather right now. Judy Pilak coming up with WGN Radio News in 2. All right, a lot going on our fair little planet here.
I'll say.
Rob Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. We'll take you around the world here. We have coming up, Dr. Lauren Stryker is going to join us, talk a little bit about, she's a doctor at Northwestern, and a little bit about the surgery that was just announced that Melania Trump had, and what does this actually mean for the First Lady?
Kidney issue.
Right, and they said a benign kidney surgery. So what are they trying to tell us there or not trying to tell us there?
Well, I think they said procedure, not surgery. Right?
Walter Reed, she... Yeah,
because some people were even theorizing that maybe it was just severe kidney stones. Yeah.
Right. Where you do the thing where you... I mean, that well could be the case. And I think at her age and health, that seems... If it's not an open case surgery, that seems pretty likely that that's what it would be. But we'll find out from the doctor. I'm not a doctor. Just play one on the radio. What do I know?
She'll let us know, and that'll be good to know. Because it was sort of a surprise the way it was revealed today. I mean, just sort of came across sort of in the middle of the day that she checked into Walter Reed. And
we'll spend the night there, though.
Had some kind of a procedure.
So that tells us something, I suppose. We'll find out. The doctor will be able to explain that to us. And we also have Steve Stone coming up a little bit. And then the co-founder of Rush Street Gaming at 6 o'clock. What does the Supreme Court decision today, which is now allowing for the gambling state by state, if states decide they want to do it on the sporting events? Not just your horse racing anymore.
No.
Oh, no.
It would be professional sports, but also college sports, too. Isn't that right? Would college sports be part of this?
Yes.
What could possibly
everything.
Go? See, now,
that doesn't sound
where,
as good to me, I don't think.
See, that's where we might run into a little bit of a problem.
Snafu?
Yeah.
Because we were talking about how there's so much money in the sports gambling, and could you influence players potentially? And I don't know.
Yeah. The other thing, too, now you remember, you got to remember, it's not just the players that you have to worry about here.
It's the coaches.
It's the referees.
They're always in for a cut.
Well, we saw it in the NBA already.
We did it. We've already seen it in the NBA, right? Recently, within the last decade, we saw it in the NBA. So now the question is, you know, how do you make sure? Because you're talking about all the big money that the big players are making. But especially in an NBA game, we know that in basketball, a referee can totally change an outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Football, a little less so. Baseball, they can. You know, the strike zone gets gigantic.
Football, we don't even know what a catch is. Of course they could.
Well, they could. Well, actually, they can't because there's too many of them in on it now, and there's video
in
review.
That's a good way to put
it. Yeah, there's too many conspirators.
You got to pay them all off,
right? But you get two referees in the NBA that could be in on it, and it's pretty easy to do because you're not doing video replay on things as much, except for possession, right? In the NBA, you're not on fouls. You're not. There's no like, oh, was that really a foul?
No.
Because I still could not tell you. I could not define for you under any in any circumstance what a foul in professional basketball
and,
is versus college
there
versus high school.
Levels of flagrant fouls too. I don't
yep,
know.
So that you, can be determined.
Right, it's kind
yeah,
of
and those you know they aren't making that much money.
I mean, right?
You know, the athletes are for the most part pretty
exactly.
much set, but yeah, the officiating those aren't full time gigs for the most part.
Okay, so the other big story of the day today internationally is the United States opened up the embassy to Israel in Jerusalem, and this is a big and monumental moment. Recognizing the United States recognizes now Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which creates it even though it is the capital of Israel, for the interests of peace and equanimity in the region and the idea that there will eventually be a Palestinian state that the United States only maintained recognizing an embassy position. Not a consulate, but an embassy position where in the capital in Tel Aviv, which is about 30 miles away. And Jordana Miller is actually in Jerusalem today for ABC News and was there at this event. And while this was going on, there were protests in the Gaza by Hamas-led youths and other folks are protesters. And that has led to at least 50 people being killed today in protest there while this is all going on. Did you get a sense, Jordana, that we're certainly covering it here, and you know, with the idea of you know, those two things being simultaneous? Did you get a sense on the ground there that what was going on in the Gaza was going on?
Well, it felt like two different worlds, to be honest. In Jerusalem, there at the ceremony today, there was such a sense of triumph and celebration, joy, really. Israelis across the political spectrum really just feeling so grateful and excited that finally the embassy has moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, an outgrowth of the president's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. What Israelis have said is merely reflects the political reality where their seat of government is, what they call their capital, and they don't see it as a particularly political decision. But then just an hour and a half south, such a stark reality there, contrast 50,000 Palestinians protesting along the Gaza border, some of them violently clashing with Israeli soldiers. From what the Israeli army says, they confronted, you know, explosives that were flown, thrown at them, fire bombs, Molotov cocktails, kite bombs that were flown over to set fields on fire, burning tires, gunfire. There were a number of incidents of gunfire at Israeli soldiers. And Israel responded with live fire, which has been a very controversial position over the last number of weeks. And it has turned deadly before, and that's what happened today as well. The death toll now up to 55, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry.
One of the things that the people back here are saying, both on television and also in diplomatic circles, is that first of all, a lot of the protests here were this part of Gaza where the protests are taking place is basically Hamas, which the international community in the United States recognizes as a terrorist organization, is Hamas controlled. Now, yes. Hamas, though, is funded by, you know, other nation states in the region. And the question now becomes, how does Saudi react to this, since they have had warmer relations with Israel over, you know, since at least the last year and a half? How will they react to this?
Right. Well, that's a terrific question. I mean, one of the biggest backers of Hamas is actually Qatar. And, you know, that how the United States can what kind of influence they can have over those who fund Hamas. And by the way, Iran is another one of the big funders, along with the Saudis. Iran funds Hezbollah, the terrorist group up by Israel's northern border as well. There should be no doubt in anyone's mind these protests were fully orchestrated, planned, and in some cases Palestinians pressured to take part in them by Hamas, which a few weeks ago declared that they would be holding peaceful protests, nonviolent protests, but each week they have turned more violent with new tactics to try to, you know, attack soldiers, breach the border, damage the security fence. Last week we saw the first kind of cluster of more than a couple hundred protesters at one time try to go and breach the fence. Today, the Israeli army says there were a few more incidents where you know, dozens of protesters together tried to come and break through. No one has succeeded, in large part because Israel has used such deadly force. And the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, defended the IDF tonight and said that Israel will continue to protect its borders. And that's what we also heard out of the White House, showing support for Israel's position. But the Palestinians are calling you know, excessive force and even a massacre.
Yeah, well, you saw 2,000 were injured, and they say 86 are critical. In addition to that, 52 killed. It certainly is quite a number. And when you look at the video or the images coming out of Gaza and Jerusalem, you can see this tale of two worlds, which is exactly what the Palestinian side is saying. They're saying that putting this embassy or recognizing this embassy as is an illegal settlement, they call it, in East Jerusalem. They're saying that the U.S. can no longer mediate and be an honest peace broker for peace in the Middle East. And this is a grave violation of international law. So from their side, you wonder if this pushes us farther away from what ultimately we're seeking in the region.
Well, that's the big question here. I mean, over and over again today at the U.S. Embassy opening the ceremony, we heard Jared Kushner and the U.S. Ambassador and the Deputy Secretary of State, John J. Sullivan, talk about how this move of the embassy would help build peace. But we see on the ground, at least in the short term, that it has really seemed to do the opposite right now. I mean, the Palestinians are boycotting. They're not even talking to the U.S. And on the street, there is an enormous amount of anger. I will say that the president and the State Department reiterated this just before the embassy opened. The president has always said that this recognition of Jerusalem does not define the final status borders of the city, that that is still something that has to be negotiated between the partners. And you will find Israelis, even on the left, who say, you know, the Palestinians are missing an opportunity here. You know, they should be saying, you know, you gave Israel this Jerusalem title. Well, now we demand something right in the peace talks.
In East Jerusalem. And there's always been this talk of right, West Jerusalem right, being the Israeli side and East Jerusalem being the Palestinian side. Mm-hmm. So now comes the question, which de facto it is, right? So the
right,
the reality now is how, at what point is there an open for negotiation here? I mean, there's a lot of things on the table. I don't know. The president's, you know, very busy on the diplomatic side. But it was interesting that he said sent to Jared and Ivanka, along with Steve Mnuchin today. I don't know. Did Mrs. Mnuchin make the flight? She would have
to fly the
Concorde if she went.
Jared certainly spoke.
Yes, he did. Yeah. We got to hear him speak. It's never as impressive when you hear it. Jordana, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Jordana.
It's Jordana Miller, ABC News. Yeah. He was up there. I just want to thank everybody for being here. This is really great the way this worked out.
He doesn't talk like that, but you hear his voice so infrequently that it sort of surprises you that it's coming out of his body.
It does sort of sound a little like this. And he's got this, you know, I'm surprised when they introduced him. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the disposable Jared Kushner.
Right. And the non-disposable Ivanka.
Right. That we're going to have to go in on our chargers and cut people's heads off with a lance. Oh, God. Oh, Rudy. Speaking of Rudy Giuliani, what a weekend he had. He walked the president into another indictment. Oh, yeah, no, he stopped that Time Warner deal. Yeah, no, yeah. That AT&T Time Warner deal, yeah, no, he stopped that.
Usually it's...
What?
What did you say?
Oh, God. With lawyers like that, really... That's lawyers making more work for lawyers.
Usually it's the other way around. The lawyer's telling the client to shut up and stop talking. It's not the client telling their own lawyer to stop digging them deeper.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, there's a lot going on here. That's all I want to say. Yeah, I want to thank everybody for being here. And I know I might be disposable, but I might have to move here. Hope it's okay. All right. Let us now check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom.
This is Ostar told an aggressive fan in Chicago, this is not what you do. We'll explain it for.
That's not for us. This is not for us. This is us. This is not for us.
More like this is not for me.
Oh, there's no me and us.
Get off.
Here is Violetta with the WGN traffic trouble spots. Rocancho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right.
Mm-hmm. several health issues to get to here.
Yep. Melania Trump underwent a procedure at Walter Reed Hospital today. And Dr. Lauren Stryker is here to discuss with us. And not much is known other than it involved her kidney. And what can we surmise from this? Or what?
Right. Hi, Ro. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Well, this is the first thing. First of all, Ro, I'm so glad you called it a procedure instead of a surgery, because I don't want to minimize that she went through a procedure, but I don't want to make it sound like she had a heart-lung transplant either. You know, basically, she did have a procedure, which is a catheterization where you put a thin tube in, generally through a blood vessel in the lung, in the leg, which will then feed up to the kidney so that they can inject some material that will essentially block off blood supply. Now, obviously, I am not Melania's physician. I have not been told specifically what her condition is. But what we assume, based on the information that we did get, is that she probably has a benign kidney tumor that has lots of little teeny blood vessels that may have been causing her problems, maybe a little pain, maybe blood in the urine, or maybe nothing at all. But generally, you want to, you know, take care of such a tumor like that so that it doesn't create problems. So basically, they do this procedure where they embolize, where they cut off the blood supply in this little benign tumor that will make it either shrink or disappear. So that's what I'm guessing is going on. Certainly, it's a procedure. It is a low-risk procedure, which evidently she did fine with. And as the White House has said, she can now continue her work on behalf of children everywhere, so we can all be relieved about that.
Yeah,
they're calling it successful, but they do say that she's going to have to remain at the hospital for the rest of the week. Does that alarm you at all? This seems a little strange if it's as routine as you said.
You know what? I don't know that I would use the word alarm. It puzzles me. Because maybe if there was something else that was done, I mean, generally for the kind of procedure that I'm describing that we assume that she had, generally this kind of thing is done as an outpatient or an overnight stay to make sure there's no bleeding or no problems. As to why they would keep her for such a long time, I can't speak to that. And I don't know if this is a precaution that they generally do with someone like the First Lady. So, I mean, the only thing that gives me, you know, kind of pause with that is wondering maybe it's something other than or more than what they're saying it is. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. But that is, like you said, that is kind of an unusual length of time to be in the hospital for an embolization procedure.
So how common is that?
An embolization procedure?
Well, or a benign kidney tumor.
It's actually more common than you would think. Well, one of the things that happens is they always say, you know, if you take the temperature, you're going to find the fever. Mm-hmm. We do so much looking now that we pick up things that otherwise were not picked up before. So particularly when you look at someone like the president or the first lady that is routinely having a lot of medical testing that maybe isn't even routinely done in anyone else. So this is the kind of thing that very often is serendipitously found on a scan, you know, looking for something else entirely different. Mm-hmm. So we're finding these things more and more is the point, you know, because while some of these people, assuming that this is what she has, this benign vascular kidney tumor, you know, some people, yes, have blood in the urine. Some people have pain like flank pain or back pain, but the majority of the people have no symptoms at all. And it's quite frankly found when you're just doing testing, looking for something else.
And there's a difference between a kidney tumor, benign tumor, and a cyst, right?
Well, yes, the difference is a cyst is a fluid-filled cyst. This sort of, again, what I'm guessing benign tumor is what we call a vascular tumor, meaning it is not a cyst. It's not filled with fluid.
But it's not cancerous either.
It's from what they have told us, no.
Yeah.
It is a benign, non-cancerous tumor, and it doesn't become cancerous. I think sometimes people think, well, we have to take care of it, otherwise it's going to become cancerous. And if this is, in fact, what she has, the real issue is that it will get larger and can cause problems like bleeding or pain.
Got it. All right. And the only curious piece of this is that she's going to spend more time in the hospital than one would anticipate someone normally would in this.
Yeah, from my point of view, that is the big question. You know, why?
Yeah.
Why is she?
If I were her, I would too. That's the way I look at it.
But this is a scheduled procedure, right, doctor? It's something that she would have had on the calendar for a little while. Even though it's a surprise to us.
That is what is being announced, you know. And as much as we can believe anything that comes out of the White House, I guess we have to believe that as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe everything comes out.
Do we believe that Meghan Markle's father had a heart attack? Because now he's not attending the royal wedding, and he's not going to walk her down the aisle, and this is a big deal in Britain.
But he sold his story, didn't he? Steal, like, him shaving or something?
He didn't, but boy, I bet he did. And this just makes me sorrier than ever that I'm not going to be there. I am such a royal watcher. It's sad. I shouldn't admit it. But I am dying to be there.
Well, he says that he didn't want to embarrass the royal family or his daughter on her big day, because he did, in fact, sell those staged paparazzi photos, did take money for them, and they showed him studying up on British customs, and they showed him trying to look at better light than he felt he had been been portrayed in the past. But he said he had a heart attack 6 days ago, and then 2 days later he was seen grabbing two Happy Meals and a frosted beverage.
What I do after all my procedures.
And then later starting
don't mess with the royals. I think that's really the message here, is do not mess with them, because they will just absolutely shut you out.
That could be it. They didn't like the whole stage thing.
I think so.
Yeah, well,
the Queen's like, no way.
Yeah, no. Listen, you people, I'm going to say this one more time, and then I'm done talking about this forever. We fought a war 240 years ago, so we didn't have to care about this. And now we got to care about it. Now I got to care that some guy who's never going to be king. This guy's like 18th in line now. There's a 6-week-old that actually is more in line right now to be king or queen than this dude.
How
is.
Close has an American ever gotten to the British throne? She's as close as it ever gets.
They're not going to make her queen.
And she's a Northwestern grad.
All right.
Right.
Go Cats.
Hometown girl.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a perfect Hallmark movie.
It really is. This is something you'd see on the Hallmark channel.
And Megan was on Hallmark.
If only if there's a Hallmark movie after a nuclear disaster and she just happens to be out of the country during it, and then they announce that she's the sole survivor.
She
has to become the queen.
I don't think you've ever seen a Hallmark movie. None of those things happen.
I have, right. But the only way that this ends, that she becomes a princess. And they're not even giving her a title, right? They're gonna, like,
oh, she gets a title, I'm sure.
Nor a crown. She does not get to wear a crown. And I think this is so unfair.
Yeah, of course you do. What they can bestow an honorary title upon her as a gift, right? But this, she doesn't. She's American. It's her first problem.
honorary title, Jewish American princess. You know, that's perfect honorary title.
Right. So
she'll be given a royal title the day of her nuptials. So
right,
she gets
but it's
a
an
royal
honorary title that's given by the queen as a gift. Right. But it does. But she's not actually. She's not landed or anything. She doesn't get. You know, she doesn't get a duchy or a princessory or whatever.
She comes a lady, isn't she a lady? She'll be a lady.
Something. And you know,
who the hell isn't a lady?
From the queen. I want something that sparkles. I don't want just a title.
That's
I want
true.
Something big and sparkly and amazing.
Hand over the bling. You know the queen has got enough of that.
Yeah.
She's got plenty of bling. And face it, at her age, she really does not need all bling.
She should be handing it down.
Exactly.
I think Melania would have done better marrying him. I think that would have been better for her.
Melania would have been done better marrying anybody.
All right. All right, doctor.
We're veering off the medical track a little bit here.
Yes, we are. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Dr. Lauren Stryker, by the way, this is not just any doctor. She is associate clinical professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Did I get that right?
You got that right. You got that absolutely right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr.
Stryker. Dr. Stryker right there. Judy Pilak has got the WGN News. Are you getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning for this?
Absolutely.
You
not.
Are? Not. Okay,
not.
Right. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't see this. Mm. I don't see.
I will.
She's not even a princess. I mean.
Yeah.
Come on.
No.
Her last name will be Mountbatten Windsor. That's as close as it gets.
Well, she should be a princess
Lady
with a
Meghan.
Name like that.
Lady Meghan Mountbatten Windsor?
Yeah. But then she gets a title
Markle,
as well.
Wait, what is her other? Is it Markle? She was married before, too, wasn't she?
Yes. She's divorced.
What was that guy's name?
I don't know what that guy's name was.
No one knows that guy's name.
No one
name.
Cares about him now.
He's no Harry.
Better to forget that she was married before.
That guy's gone. Who knows where he is?
Yeah. What do you mean? What are you talking about? He wasn't married before. So what do you think I was married before?
Although he was negotiating, according to Variety, that he was negotiating some kind of a show about being the man who formerly dated the woman
who was married to, right? Yeah. Wasn't he married?
I mean, married. I'm sorry, married to Meghan, who then went on to marry into British royalty.
Well,
so what? Okay. Like he was married to pre-royalty?
Yes,
pre-royalty.
Pre-royalty.
They should call the show, the reality show that he's going to do.
All right,
everyone's
hold on.
Dad's cashing in. You got the ex-husband cashing in.
All right, I have your answers here. I have your answers.
You mean
right.
What her prior name was?
So she's Rachel Meghan Markle,
mm-hmm.
and she was married to Trevor Engelson. All right, so she's Rachel Meghan Markle Engelson Mountbatten Windsor.
Oh, geez.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Good thing she's not playing
football. Her residence, it says now, is Nottingham
and that's
Cottage,
to you.
Kensington Palace, London. Oh.
Very
nice. Yeah, she's born in L.A., though. But that's a separate deal. All right.
Well, go Cats. I mean, she's a Northwestern grad. We should all be getting up early to watch this. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
I know what we're thinking. We're asleep. That's what we'll be thinking.
I'm jealous.
Don't worry. You'll make it. You're going to marry the rightful king of Serbia before this is all said and done. I think he lives in like Elmwood Park or something, right? Doesn't the rightful king of Serbia live here?
I want a tiara.
Yeah, they'll get you a tiara. All right. Judy, what's coming up with the bomb there?
Well, this just in. The president has just tweeted that he is heading over to Walter Reed to see his great first lady, Melania.
Yeah. By the way, happy Mother's Day to her. Did you notice how that got dropped yesterday?
He left that out of his address.
He was talking about his mother, remembering his late mother. You know how wonderful she was. Tough, though. I like how he does that. Oh, she could be tough. Really? I mean, she's been dead for decades. You really have to go down that road? Just, you know.
Makes him a better person.
I miss
though.
My loving mother. Not how she was sometimes. Wow. Whoa. Who could deal with that? That was kind of sort of what I got out of it. And then he doesn't mention the mother to his young child. Now, the two previous, I kind of get that a little bit, you know, the grown kids and all that, or mm-hmm. he could have, you know, mentioned his daughter. But I think what he was thinking is there's just too many of them to mention, and I'm going to get yelled at for
that's probably it.
For not bringing one of them up.
Yeah.
Plus, Melania's at the hospital. She won't hear this.
Right. But then, right. And when was Melania in? Did she go in yesterday? Do we know?
They haven't announced it.
I don't know if that's been revealed.
Because we just found out a couple hours ago.
It literally crossed.
And
all of
I feel like I could be wrong, but the fact that they're saying she'll be there the rest of the week, I don't think she'll be there the rest of the week. But
they
why
just
not?
Don't want you to know.
But it was her spokesperson.
And then when she gets out, well, I know.
But if you were her, wouldn't you stay there the rest of the week?
Yeah. Yeah, I might just stay there.
It'd be best if I stayed
like
the rest of the week.
Be best.
It'd be best if I stayed the rest of the week. Yeah, and maybe the rest of the year, if that's okay. Maybe it'd be best if me and boy go back to Slovenia too, but they're not letting me out. All right, what do you got coming up? Sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. And here he is. Here's Steve Stone on baseball right here. Hey.
Well, try Bub City because of the macaroni and cheese. You're going to love it.
Oh, yes.
I haven't had that.
I'm well familiar with that.
What a tip.
Yeah, I'm well familiar. You know, I got family in that company.
It's
and
true.
Turns out.
Well-positioned family.
I find myself eating there quite a bit because they got that card they carry with them. They drop down on the table after they've ordered $6 million worth of stuff, and they go, and then it's pretty good. It's pretty good, pretty good. All right, look, can I just ask you, I just need an answer to this. Last week I spent a lot of time, just trying to find storylines with the Chicago White Sox that I could get my arms around and get some sort of optimism out of. And every time last week that I was feeling something, especially that game that they lost, they were going in the ninth 5-2. Was that Wednesday or Thursday? When was that? And, you know, they end up losing 6-5 to the Pirates. You're like, how devastating is this for these young kids, or is it at all?
Well, look, nobody wants to lose, and you have to understand that these athletes have dominated every level of competition until they got to the major leagues, or they wouldn't get to the major leagues because these are the best players in the world. And so the fact is that nobody has ever won in a rebuild, and the White Sox are not going to be the first. And the storylines are, take a look at the guys that you think might be building blocks, and just to name a few, you'd have to say that Moncada is going to be around when this team gets good, and Abreu is going to be around when this team gets good. And you have to figure that Rodon is going to be when he comes back, which is going to be in the not-too-distant future. There's a couple of other guys on this team that probably will be there. I would say that Yomer Sanchez has a good chance of being around when this team gets good.
Love his name.
And then, you know, and then, yeah, and then they're going to fill in around that with some really talented youngsters. If the minor leagues was barren, then you really couldn't do much of a rebuild because you wouldn't have the pieces in place to do that.
But you got great kids coming up.
We do. And we're living in an instant gratification society where you want everything to happen now. But yeah, the fact is, if you look at Houston, who won a World Series, they lost 111 games a couple of years before. They put together a very good baseball team. And Kansas City was woeful. They hadn't had anything since 1985. And then they came a game from winning the World Series, and then they won the World Series. And the Cubs are the same thing. You remember their rebuild. The team went through some terrible times, and the fans didn't like it.
No.
But they realized that looking ahead, you're going to be better for having rebuilt the organization. You rebuild it with good kids. You rebuild it through the draft. You rebuild it with the occasional free agent, but only until you have the pieces in place. So if you want storylines, it's the fact that things will be better down the road. But if you're looking for wins this year and possibly most of next year, you're just not going to get them. You're unrealistic. You don't understand what a rebuild really is. And although fans want them to win today, you can't build a competitive team today only to finish middle of the pack and then wind up with a 20th pick or 18th pick draft pick, and you wind up the track. You don't get into the playoffs. That's not the way you do these things, and you do them with sustained excellence. And being in a major market, as Chicago is, you can sustain excellence where Kansas City can't. They were 2 years, and now they have to rebuild again, and that's what small market teams do. This is not a small market team. Next year they will have a few bucks to spend because some contracts will come to an end, and I assume that they're going to spend it on some guys that will help them for the future, not guys that are going to help them for the present. So don't look at the youngsters coming up right now because that's not going to happen. There's no motivation.
I think
to do that.
What my question, but my question is really this. When you have guys, as you pointed out, and this is, I think, a critically important thing, and you understand this as well as anybody, these are the best of the best in the world, as you said, that are playing here. They've never lost. These are winners all the way through their athletic careers, right? So they want to win. So when you have you have some heartbreak moments that you know, where you really feel like I get that they know they're not going to the World Series this year. I get that they're not going to the playoffs, but they're still competitive. And when they lose in heartbreakers, you know, when they lose games that they shouldn't be losing, that they should be winning, does that take a toll on them?
I would assume that it takes a toll on some of the guys, but the guys that hang their heads and have it take the most toll on won't be here when it's time to win, because those aren't the guys you want. This is an everyday game, and you have terrible losses within the framework of a season. You have losing streaks within the framework of a season. But the guys who take it with them the next day or the next week, you don't want those guys because they're not going to help you when times get tough. And even if you do win it, let's say you have a remarkable year and you win 100 games. That means you lose 62 times. If you lose 62 times and you're feeling terribly depressed on the terrible losses, you're not going to help the team win 100 games. And consequently, in good organizations, you're not going to be here. You get to play for other teams, teams like Tampa Bay, teams that won't win it. And so you send them there. So they have to figure out, not only talent-wise, but you have to figure out baseball acumen-wise and disposition-wise, which guys will be best suited to be the future and which guys you should leave in your rearview mirror. And that's the reason that the player development people and the evaluating people from the White Sox, who are very good at what they do, they've got to determine right now who those guys you want to leave in the rearview mirror are. And then you determine how you're going to make some trades, because there are still some valuable guys in this organization, both in the major leagues and the minor leagues, that would fit very good on other teams and you could get a return for. And it depends on how good you want to evaluate, because if you evaluate very well, then you're going to trade the guys that can't help you on this team, but they look shiny and new for somebody else, and then you get somebody in return who you identify will help you on this team. It's a very complicated process, and the better teams do it really well, and the teams that don't win don't do it quite as well. And I think the White Sox have the pieces in place to be able to evaluate their talent and understand exactly where everybody is, who should be used as trade pieces, who should be kept as you move forward, And then we'll figure out in the next couple of years exactly what it's going to look like. But the team is going to look vastly different. And quite frankly, most of the guys who are here now will not be here when it's time for this team to win.
Hey, Steve, Kevin, good to talk to you. One of the names around base that's been tossed around lately here locally, because there are Cub fans speculating or at least throwing out Manny Machado. Okay. So, you know, for the White Sox, they have to figure, do they make a move for him now? But he's a free agent to be. He's part of that loaded free agent class. I guess what are the chances Machado lands in Chicago, whether it's with the Cubs via trade this year or with the White Sox handing him, which would probably be the largest contract in franchise history this upcoming offseason? He's one of the top 10 players in baseball.
Every time you evaluate something like that, you realize who his agent is, and it says Scott Boras. Mm-hmm. And Scott Boras is not one to sign long-term deals before testing the free agent market. So if you are the Chicago Cubs, because the White Sox at this point can't really use him unless you got a window to negotiate in the future, and they're not going to get that from Boras. So let's say it's the Cubs, and the Cubs decide they want to do that. Then they have to decide, if you do that, you have to trade Addison Russell because he becomes a spare piece for you because you got Javi Baez, who's a terrific player and can play just about anywhere in the infield. So let's say you decide to make that move, but what are you going to give up for him? They don't have a lot in their minor league, so you have to give up guys off your major league team, and the name that comes to mind is Schwarber. Would you be willing to trade Schwarber for a rental player? And I'm thinking the object is no, but maybe the Cubs feel differently. You know, if they're still in a race like they are right now, where they can't, you know, you're not going to put anybody away as we're sitting here on the 14th of May. So you take a look and you say, well, will Milwaukee hold up? I don't know. They're not a bad club. Will St. Louis hold up? When they get Molina back, maybe. How about Pittsburgh? The Cubs are behind all of those teams, but really short. I mean, they're one game out of first place and fourth place. So what I think is going to happen is the Cubs will play better and better. Look, Rizzo is not hitting like he can, and he's going to hit because he's a quality hitter. He's going to drive in 100 runs because that's what he does. Bryant's going to continue driving in more runs, and he's going to be very good. Baez is probably not going to lead the league in runs batted in, but he just could. And then eventually you're going to get Hayward back, who's a defensive right fielder as opposed to an offensive right fielder. And I think they got a great bullpen. I think they have a good enough starting rotation to probably put that division away. But if it's close, they might decide to take a 2.5 or 3 month gamble on Machado, knowing that then they got outbid everybody in free agency. But they're not going to want to give up Schwarber for him, I don't believe, or anybody else off their major league team. You know, they spent a great deal of capital in giving the White Sox Cease and Jimenez for Quintana. They've traded away a whole lot of their minor leagues. They have a few chips left, but not any real type A minor leaguers, so then it becomes a little short as far as making that deal. It doesn't make a great deal of sense to me, but maybe it makes sense to him. And the one good thing about Tom Ricketts and Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer is they want to win, and they have a win-now philosophy. And after last year, they might feel that this is the year when they have to go for it. And so if that's the case, Machado fits in perfectly. I mean, he's really a stud. He's leading the American League in runs batted in. He's getting better and better. He's still very young. He's a shortstop, which is a wonderful position if you have a great player like him. So there's no downside with Manny Machado. The only thing is you have to answer who you're going to give up, and is he going to be a rental player, which I suspect he is. For me, it all adds up to no, they're not going to get him, but maybe it makes good fodder for the newspapers.
and really, there's nothing to write about right now, so don't worry about it. It's all good. You know, what are you going to do?
Headlines.
Yeah. All right.
Big way.
All right. Steve Stone, you know, it's Steve Stone on Baseball, brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it. We'll talk
Steve.
To you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a good show. Talk to you down the road.
Thanks. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Just hung up on the bye. Bye. Do you... Was he just laying out a scenario in which the Cubs get him as a rental and the Sox get him next year in a 5-year deal?
That could be a possibility. I think it could be even longer than a 5-year deal. You're going to see a couple of the largest contracts in baseball history this offseason, with Manny Machado and Bryce Harper hitting the open market. And at the age of what they're at, you know, free agents normally hit the market in their late 20s. Early 30s, they're normally descending as players. For Harper and Machado, they're basically hitting the open market in
their
prime.
Peak, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, you're looking at $300 million potential contracts here for Harper and Machado.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so Mm-mm-mm. We'll see. I mean, if the Sox want him, they can, you know, they're going to have to outbid some other teams. But Machado for the Sox would be perfect. I think it would bring that competitive window even closer. If they do get a player like Machado, we're talking, okay, maybe 3 years down the road without him. By next year, they could be a very interesting team with Machado.
Well, yes, and all of a sudden now you're bringing up
Jimenez, Kopech, and
potentially. And I mean, they're moving Jimenez already from AA to AAA, right? Isn't it?
That hasn't been announced yet, but he's absolutely tearing up AA. He has 7 homers in just 24 games. He has 25 RBIs in 24 games, so he's blowing away the competition at that level. He'll be at AAA.
We should explain who this is. I mean, for those who, you know.
Eloy Jimenez was the key piece to that Cubs Sox deal last summer when Jose Quintana went to the north side. Eloy Jimenez is
Considered the best prospect in baseball.
Pretty much in all baseball. He is already becoming sort of like a legend in the baseball world because there's been videos of him doing the stuff from The Natural. He's been seen blowing out lights in batting practice. I'm not kidding. I mean, he puts on a show and... saw him in spring training. He's 6'4", he's 220 pounds. The guy can absolutely obliterate baseballs. People think he's got MVP type stuff down the road. And I do too.
Right fielder, right?
Right fielder. Defensively, he's probably, that's where he needs to work on his game the most. But at the plate, he is a dangerous, dangerous man.
Right. People are comparing him to... you name the legend, and they're comparing Babe Ruth. People have compared him to.
Yes. A little soon for that.
People are talking. He's a 40-plus home run type guy, you know, and he can do that consistently. He's a big man. You know, with him in the, I think he's going to be in the White Sox in the middle of the heart of that lineup for many, many years to come. The question now, and Rick Hahn's been asked it about 5,000 times. I've asked him a couple times. When is he coming up to the majors? And I think it will be this year, despite him starting in AA. I think we'll probably see Jimenez. I really want to see him in September when the Cubs and Sox meet, because how cool would it be to see Jimenez go against Jose Quintana? You know, like the two guys. Like there's going to be some storylines in that.
The Lou Brock trade. That's what everybody talks about. Yeah. Is this Lou?
I think it works out for both teams so far. I mean, it's early to tell, but I think it made a ton of sense for both.
Yeah, well, for sure it made sense for the Cubs at the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just know one in the hand, right? But, well, we'll see. It's very, very exciting. Mm-hmm. Babe Ruth. That's kind of that really? Okay.
There's a lot of excitement around him.
Yes, there is.
All parts of the baseball world.
All right, let us now check in with Chief Pilot, the Babe Ruth of radio news. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
It's Royal Wedding Week, and Paul Coyte will check in with the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow, 6:20, to update everyone on all the pre-wedding buzz in London. He's the official England correspondent.
The Queen has to show up now? Is Prince Philip going to be there?
Well,
he's had some medicals.
The big deal is that Meghan Markle's dad has confirmed he will not walk her down the aisle and will not be attending.
We've put his royal guard on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not coming.
No.
Staying home.
No.
Like he's not allowed or?
No, he's
not allowed.
We don't know how it came about. He just said he doesn't want to embarrass anyone after he got the paparazzi to pay him some dough for those staged photographs.
You don't want to mess with the Queen. Did you ever see that the Queen movie or whatever that was?
Crown?
With the Crown? Not the Crown, not the show. The movie.
It was a documentary?
No, it was a theatrical release maybe 10 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And was it called The Queen? What was it? Somebody look that up for me. It had one of those big British actresses in it, you know, that's always winning an Oscar for something. And
Helen Mirren?
Helen Mirren.
Oh, I love her.
Yes.
But, you know, The Crown is awesome.
Yes, The Crown is good. But this was The Queen, right? It was all about, like, the death of Diana and that annus horribilis and all of that, which, by the way, my doctor says I have.
You have that, maybe.
Yeah. And so,
check that out. So
the point is that you look at her and you're like, I don't want to mess with her. Do not want to mess with her.
No. I think she'd be a tough one to face off with.
So I think he's going to have to stay home.
Yeah, and when the palace got the word that he took the money from the paparazzi for those photos, I don't think it was received well.
They don't like that kind of thing. And that's it. And by the way, this Megan, don't think you're royalty or nothing. Don't you come up in here thinking you're royalty.
Well, she is. She's part of the British royal family as of Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's just one of us, you know.
Yeah, Fergie was too. Look what happened to her.
She better have some kids. That'll solidify it.
Fergie had to start doing reality television.
An heir and a spare?
Yeah. Well, the heir to what?
Well, I mean, yeah. She's not that far away.
They are incredibly far away.
Oh, come on.
All the kids that of Harry and not Harry, what's the other one?
William and Kate. And they're having a lot of them. They're not
right.
stopping.
Those kids, right, those kids, there's a, literally the most recent one, the one that's like 5 weeks old, mm-hmm. is in line before Harry.
Before Harry.
Yeah. Nothing. Right. Nothing.
The kids won't even.
And by the way, first of all, their grandmother is still the queen. Their grandfather is, you know, their dad, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the three kids, then it goes the dad, William, the three kids, then maybe Harry. He's sixth in line.
Takes the pressure off. It's probably better.
Yeah. Anyway, good luck. She'll enjoy it. It's fun, sort of. Although Princess Diana, remember, said it was very cold in the castle. All right. Let's see. Right now, let's tell you. Oh, 2 minutes away from Judy Pilex News. With Anna DeBlancis,
yes.
right here on 720 WGN.
Look at the time, Ro.
Oh, what is it?
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Could it be?
Yes.
Mm.
And you know what that means.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Checking in at
number five.
Jared Kushner, Secretary of Everything and disposable son-in-law of the president,
according to Giuliani,
was in Jerusalem today unveiling the new embassy of the United States of America to Israel. And he says that the journey to peace begins with a strong America that recognizes the truth.
The United States stands with Israel because we both believe in freedom. We stand together because we both believe in human rights. We stand together because we believe democracy is worth defending. And the United States stands with Israel because we believe, we know that it is the right thing to do.
So that's how he sounds.
Youthful. I think the term would be youthful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, listen. Here's what we're gonna do. This is for 20 years has been on the books. Bill yeah. Clinton recognized Jerusalem as the capital, as Israel recognized Jerusalem as the capital. We put our embassy in Tel Aviv, trying to keep the tensions low. I mean, this has been, you know, for decades now, as the Palestinian-Israeli conflict has, you know, it has been hot and cold and hot and cold and intifada and all the rest. And now the question is, where does peace come from? Now, what is interesting is that where the protests were today, and there were some significant protests today that led to over 50 people getting killed, right? Being killed.
Say ABC News, 52 people, 8 children, 2,000 injured. 2,400, excuse me.
2,400 injured
mm-hmm.
on the Gaza Strip, and to the south and to the west of Jerusalem. This appears to be Hamas organized. Now, Hamas is recognized as a terrorist group, and so this was, and these were Palestinians that were being asked to take part in this at the behest of Hamas. And this is a very, very difficult thing. Now, in East Jerusalem and the eastern part of Israel and where the Palestinian Authority is, that is those leaders there, the old Arafat wing, they were not protesting. And so this is there seems to be a schism here. And the question is, you know, to what degree is Hamas and people on the Arabian Peninsula, whether it's the Qataris, or even the Iranians across from the Arabian Peninsula who are, now trying to get involved in this game. You know, where does peace begin here? Where do the Palestinians, you know, the people who, you know, have generation upon generation, of people who have lived in this area that is now Israel, where do they get to take control of their own destiny? as opposed to having their destiny influenced by people who are willing to pay but then want to influence the process. And that becomes that's a big issue.
And how this impacts the journey to peace that Jared Kushner spoke about then. You know, you're seeing the Palestinian authorities now say, after what happened with this many people being injured and killed, they're saying that the U.S. cannot, and also the placing and recognition of Jerusalem at the embassy in Jerusalem, how can the U.S. become the honest broker of peace? We don't recognize them as that. So
maybe the United States isn't anymore. Maybe they turn to somebody else. But this problem does need to get it seems like an intractable problem, but it does. It eventually the bloodshed continues until they're able to come up with a plan here. Now, Jared Kushner's wife, Ivanka Trump, mm-hmm. who's the daughter of Donald
Trump. Not disposable.
Right, the not disposable one. We have to go to the mattresses for her. She spoke as well.
On behalf of the 45th President of the United States of America, we welcome you officially and for the first time to the Embassy of the United States here in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Thank you.
By the way, that is not a mistake. They are rebranding it the United States on America. It's a new thing.
She just misspoke there.
It's just an update. Oh, boy. All right, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. That happened today.
Number four.
All right. Last month, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross woke up for a short period of time and announced U.S. suppliers were banned from working with telecommunications giant ZTE. Now, why? Because ZTE, this big telephone and equipment manufacturer out of China, was selling American parts that they were assembling in China. They were then selling them against the rules and against the laws and against the better wishes of the United States to Iran and North Korea. Also, it is believed that ZTE, in products that they were selling back to the United States, were putting spyware into the electronics and communications equipment that they were selling back to the United States so that it would make it easier for Chinese intelligence agencies to spy on the United States.
That's right. They're saying the Chinese government was using them as a tool. They didn't need any court order or any review process. They just moved in and would order ZTE to help them with national security and espionage.
Right. Now, so you're going to stop. You're going to say to yourself, all right, ZTE, probably. As a matter of fact, you're seeing it all over TV today. There's a moment in which Senator Cotton, Republican, mm-hmm. asks the current heads six major U.S. intelligence heads, mm-hmm. the Trump appointed six heads of intelligence, would any of you raise your hands if you think we should be using ZTE technology? You'd have any of your people using ZTE technology, this Chinese company's technology. And none of them raise their hand.
Yeah. None of them. What you know doesn't seem wise.
Let the record reflect that nobody raised their hand. Thank you for that. That's what Tom Cotton said. So then yesterday, somehow, some way, I don't know. I just thought maybe he was upset because Melania was having pain. I don't know. But somehow, some way, yesterday, the president tweets out that China is, you know, they're coming to the United States this week on a mm-hmm. trade mission. So there's mm-hmm. going to be trade negotiations this week. That he's working with President Xi, and he's telling Wilbur Ross to turn around and lift the sanctions on ZTE. The president is doing this so they can get jobs back into China, because they're losing a lot of jobs over there for this, and they don't want to lose these jobs.
Right, and the Chinese position is go ahead and release the sanctions on them, and we'll be in a better position to bargain for trade.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to do.
Yes.
That's all.
Now, you got California Congressman Adam Schiff, who says, by way of Twitter, that intelligence agencies warn ZTE technology is a major cybersecurity threat. And after all of this happens, and then what happens? Raj Shah, who's in for Sarah Sanders today, is, you know, heading up the podium today at the White House, said this.
So what's the president's thinking with that tweet over the weekend about wanting to rescue ZTE?
Obviously, this is part of a very complex relationship between the United States and China that involves economic issues, national security issues, and the like. And it's an issue of high concern for China that's been raised with the U.S. With the U.S. government and with our administration at various levels. So the president has asked Secretary Ross to look into it consistent with applicable laws and regulations.
Okay.
He didn't ask him to do that. He didn't actually say, consistent with applicable laws and regulations. He basically said, I'm instructing him to turn that around right now.
People are working on him to change his position on that at this very moment.
Like, Congress is like, what? You know, Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio wakes up more hysterical than I do every day. He reads, he looks at his phone, and I sometimes scream out loud when I look at my phone. Marco Rubio does the same thing. He's like, what?
Yeah, he said, he quote, we are crazy to allow ZTE to operate in the United States without tighter restrictions. It's about national security and espionage.
Here's more on Raj Shah.
Critics will say that the president wants China's support, needs China's support, and that is why he is now backing off on this sanction against ZTE.
It's part of, again, the U.S. relationship with China, which is complex. It has economic factors. It has national security factors. This is just one of many factors. And again, the president is asking the Secretary of Commerce to look into the matter consistent with laws and regulation.
In other words, just get it done. All right. Okay. What about all? Well, you know, you just. But at the, what the funny thing is that people are today saying, "Well, you know, the people in the Midwest and all those folks that Donald Trump was talking to during the election about bringing jobs back from China. And now he's trying to get more jobs for Chinese workers, perhaps at the expense of American security. This is really going to upset those people. No, it's not. They're not. No matter whatever he does is okay. Doesn't matter." Because they figure he knows better, that he's got it, he'll work it out. Because even the president even tweeted, "Don't worry, it's all gonna be okay, okay." And they're people are just jumping up and down at CNN and everywhere else. Oh, they're gonna be all upset in Kansas about this. No, they're not. Oh, this is the world we live in now. Judy, I'm gonna do my Jared Kushner now. Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
If you only had a stronger voice, I could hear you.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, that is, and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10.
All right, here we go. Top 5 of 5 continues right here. Remember, I remembered it this time. Yeah, how about that? I remembered it.
Didn't lose track in the middle of the top of 5 and 5 today.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
And then we have to continue it at 6 in those cases.
Right, when daddy's drinking too much, that sometimes happens.
Number 3.
Twenty years ago today, 76 million people watched the series finale of Seinfeld. And now, it was considered, as you might recall, the finale was not exactly as critically well-reviewed as the rest of the series.
No.
No.
It was not.
No. This is where Jerry, George, Elaine, and Kramer sentenced the four people to 1 year in prison.
But your callous indifference and utter disregard for everything that is good and decent has rocked the very foundation upon which our society is built. I can think of nothing more fitting than for the four of you to spend a year removed from society.
It's great.
So in fact great that they had to have in the Curb Your Enthusiasm series that Larry David did, the co-creator of Seinfeld, they actually had to redo the finale. there was so much criticism about the way the finale was that they had to go, hey, no, we need to do a new finale. All right, and also 20 years ago today.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all
Frank
the
Sinatra
say.
Passed away at the age of 82. Francis Albert, a legend, as a singer, as a producer, as a record label executive, and Las Vegas entertainer. Plus, he was also an Oscar-winning actor, adept at both comedy and drama.
We have an example of that.
We don't have an example of
we
that.
We do not. We can think of it, the best one in our head.
Yes. But, oh, my gosh.
There's so many.
So many. Well, an incredible legend. Oh, all right. Yeah. Checking in at
number two.
All right. Now, Adele. You know Adele?
Mm-hmm. I like the Adele.
Adele, this is not an act. You know, it's like you don't see a lot of Adele songs being done on American Idol, right?
It's very hard to do.
You don't want to cover an Adele song mm-hmm. because it's just, you're never going to sound like Adele. But that's not what Dave Grohl and his daughter decided. Nope. They wanted to take it on. They were doing a benefit concert. And despite the girl being only 12 years old, little Violet, it's like Violetta, but not without the A.
Violet Grohl.
Violet Grohl. And her very legendary father. On acoustic guitar. Here you go.
Oh.
Everybody loves the things you do.
She inherited dad's musical genes. Incredible.
Age of 12. Wow. All right. I take back everything I ever said about Adele.
Number one.
Margot Kidder, who found fame as Lois Lane in the 1978 Superman, has died. She was born in Canada. Made her professional acting debut in the TV series Wojciech in 1969. Her first film role in the Canadian movie The Best Damn Fiddler from Calabogie to Caladar. I don't have that in my collection.
I never saw that one.
But it was her role as the scrappy reporter and Superman love interest that made Margot Kidder a breakout star. Now, she was in that film as well as three sequels, Superman 2 in 1980, Superman 3 in 83, and then Superman 4, Quest for Peace in 1987.
You are Superman, aren't you?
Lois, look, we've been through these hallucinations of yours before. Can't you see what you almost did? Throwing yourself off a building 30 stories off? Can't you see what a tragic mistake you almost made?
I made a mistake. I made a mistake because I risked my life instead of yours.
Lois, don't be insane.
I guess I've known this for the longest time.
You realize, of course, if you'd been wrong, Clark Kent would have been killed.
With a blank? Gotcha.
She was the Lois Lane many of us grew up with, right?
Right.
The one, you know, that you saw when you first saw Superman. But then she also was known, I think, apart from her acting, as being someone who had the courage to speak up about mental illness and her battles with that at a time when you didn't see that so much in Hollywood. She sat down with Barbara Walters and talked about it and was open about
right.
depression and
addiction and all the different
absolutely.
Things that she suffered. Margot Kidder was 69.
The top five at five.
And don't forget, on Friday, it's the WGN Walk of Fame ceremony.
That's right.
Live broadcast beginning at 10 a.m. outside the Tribune Tower and Pioneer Court. All are welcome.
Am I in it this year?
No. Hmm. Two prominent Chicago sports personalities, David Kaplan and Chuck Swirsky, are going to be inducted. Roger Treemstra is going to be inducted. And an announcer from the golden days of radio, the voice of Velvet, Pierre Andre. And Mary Vandeveld. She is your current.
Nice.
Yes.
That's who got it.
It is a famed traffic reporter from this very radio program, radio station, not this radio program.
No, she's been doing it a little bit longer than you have, Violetta. Yeah.
I mean, I've been here almost like a year and a half, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so
she only has 19 on you.
God. It just doesn't end with her, does it? It just doesn't end.
You can't blame her for the persistence part of it all.
Yeah. No.
But
no,
you do.
No, you can. You can. I do, actually. I can and I do.
Are you guys talking about me or Mary?
Well, if you just keep saying it, you start to believe it. So
that's
that
right.
might happen.
What was that book they wrote about that?
Yeah, the power
Trump,
of positive
Trump
thinking.
The presidency.
Yeah, it's the art of the deal. I think is the name of the book. Learn more about this year's inductees at wgnradio.com/walkoffame, and then come by on Friday. Friday is starting at 10.
It's always a party.
I can tell you firsthand, it's a really, really good time.
Yes,
she can. I like how you slipped that in
yes,
there.
Oh wait, am I on the Walk of Fame? Oh, that's right, I am.
You can say.
I
that
went and looked
firsthand.
At it the other day because I thought, well, we're moving. I better go check it out.
Yeah, what's going to happen with those? You guys all get to take them home?
Mine was a little bit dirty. I was a little bit... I'm going to bring Clorox wipes down the next time I go.
That means a lot of people have been looking at it.
Right, or stepping on it, or spitting on it. I don't know.
I didn't do nothing to it. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were going to cordon yours off so that no one could trample
it. I know.
Or get an intern just to watch over and clean it every day for you, Judy.
Yeah. We are moving. The Walk of Fame is moving.
Oh, is it?
Along with us, yeah.
Oh. Where is it going? Do we know?
There's a big ceremony for that. So
really,
I can't give that away. But that's going to be next year's ceremony.
Violetta, you and I are also not going in that one either.
Oh, right, I can promise you.
I'll be a part of that now too.
I can promise you. promise you that other than Judy, who's already in it
that's the
for
only
her
person.
Work prior to this show. That none of the four of us are going on to the WGN Walk of Fame.
Good effort.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
Kid Country.
Unless
I can represent, don't
unless
worry
the
about it.
Unless the system gets totally rigged, which I am not above doing.
Neither am I.
I know, right? Violetta's that's all she does is rig a system.
She's going to work herself into the Walk of Fame script on Friday. You know, they're like the third person they're going to announce Violetta Podramatic. She walks up to the stage.
Thanks, guys.
Somehow,
I think you should just walk around saying you're Mary Vandeveld. Give them a little traffic.
Big into traffic.
Yeah. Violetta likes to palm people C notes. That's how she does it.
Mm. That works. That can get you a long way in this town.
This is good for you. At 20 gets you a long way
That's
in this
true.
Town still.
You're probably overpaying if you're doing the C note.
Yeah. But, you know, she did the palm. Here's a little something for you. You know, this is, you know,
like
it's good luck for the deal.
I like to take care of people.
Yeah.
Just call my name right before marriage.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's not going to kill you to do it here. No, take your family out to dinner. It's real nice. Something real nice.
Hi, I'm Violetta. Mary couldn't be here today, so
exactly.
She's
no idea
up in
where
the green
she
room.
Is. It's really bizarre that she wouldn't show up.
She
on
must
a day
be in
like
traffic.
Today.
She must have not listened.
See Bronco speeding off with the little bluegrass van. Mary's tied up.
Mary's duct taped in the back.
Dad, I need your help with something this Friday.
Yeah, I understand that you had. Was it this weekend that you had the big Connectar? Concert here in Chicago.
Connectar was he was in Chicago this weekend. He came from New York, and then they were in Vegas.
Who
is Connectar?
Yeah,
Connectar is a Romanian rapper that my dad brought over for here for concerts.
Does he represent your dad? Represents him?
Yeah,
one of his side gigs.
Yeah, that's his manager.
it's his guy.
Oh my god.
No, it's not his manager.
You're going to have to ask manager Bronco Pathomedic. He will handle for me.
Yeah, so.
That's, I mean, all I can think about is like who's calling Bronco and for what?
For a concert.
For booking?
He'll do
the booking?
He does all the booking and organizing. Booking, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So where did he play?
Like, he played at Little Bucharest just last night.
Nice.
Just
well, Little Bucharest is kind of little. I mean, that's...
right.
Was he on the stage with the two guys that play the violin?
No, they weren't there. That was just his goodbye little concert.
His goodbye concert.
Yeah.
Why is he going, goodbye?
Well, he's leaving. His visa's up, so he's leaving on Tuesday.
That's important.
He will be on that plane because he's been known to not make it. He missed his flight from Las Vegas to New York. Oh,
yes, I missed his flight. It was very busy. Where were you? I don't remember.
Bronco's itinerary for him got a little screwed up.
You don't want to see Bronco when he finds out that he's not on that plane. I'm like, I got to go. But he made it. He made it there eventually. A delayed flight. You know how these artists are. They're just all over the place.
I don't know who this artist is, but I know how artists are.
Connectar. Look him up.
This has got to be Boris's favorite music.
He's got a good video.
I made some mistakes. Got some troubles in my life.
Hey!
I'm not like a step on the brakes. And everything will be all right.
Hey!
But I'm here.
Was doing
and there's nothing I can't.
He does it in English. Wow.
He does really good English. He was doing Biggie last night.
He was doing Biggie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. Rapping a little Biggie.
Okay.
Biggie.
Wait,
Biggie.
Hold on. Let's bring him up. Bring him up. Love is what I feel. This is where it really gets good. This is where actually, this is where Boris starts stirring his drink. This is how exciting he is.
Very clean lyrics.
Yeah.
For a rapper.
And I know now there was a picture that made it to the interwebs.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
That where Violetta and Bronco and this guy are all doing like the devil, you know, like the rock, the rock,
well,
whatever you call that.
At first, it was just Connectar and me, and then of course my dad's like, "What's going on over here?"
I take pinky and the forefinger and then thumb. They stick out now, and this is devil horn.
I think it's the kind of like a rock on symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he's a rock star.
He's a rock star. Okay.
So his tour went well here in the U.S., and then he goes back to Serbia.
Romania. Yes. There's no
Connect R. Yeah. Connect S is from Serbia.
Exactly.
Connect R is from Romania.
On.
And that's who's got the next we bring in Connect S.
But it was funny because everyone around the station was calling him Connect 4, and I told him that, and then I had explained to him what Connect 4 is.
Oh, God.
And it was complicated.
Yeah. That'd be a good rap name, though. You should consider that. Connect 4?
The that Connect 4 tour. That could be his next tour that Bronco
this is good.
Organizes.
Let me write this down.
Mm-hmm.
You get Connect R, Connect S, and then you're going to have to Connect SL Slovenia. I don't even understand what goes on in your people's world.
You know,
I just really don't.
Neither do I.
There's a whole underground of things I don't even understand.
It's a lot of artists coming, going, performing.
Uh-huh. And then what was he doing in Vegas?
He had another concert.
In Vegas.
They do a national tour, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's all at Romanian establishments.
At the Romanian casino in Vegas? I'm not familiar with it.
I don't think it was a casino. I don't know exactly what it was. It's hard to keep up with these guys. They're all over the place. So when my dad first brought over Connect R, I was like, Dad, you need to bring this guy over. He's so cool. Mm-hmm. Love his music. His number one song is called Vara Nudorm. And it's a... This is it. No, it's not. They all kind of sound the same. It's like I have no more time.
People right now trying to tune in going, oh, I got that other station. I got that foreign language. Honey, where's WGN? I got the foreign language station.
Damn kids changing the presets.
Sounds catchy.
What's he singing about?
Yeah,
there?
What is that about?
It's pretty much just like, you know, about love and getting the girl.
Mm-hmm.
But Vara Nudorm, which is his number one hit, is about not sleeping in the summer, partying it up.
Mm-hmm.
He takes pills. He doesn't go see his grandma. I don't know. It's kind of a strange
now
song.
There's something. Yeah. There's a lyric you do not get in American hip hop or anywhere else.
What's that?
Is that if you don't go see your grandmother. That doesn't come up.
Right.
You know, you can take the pills. You're out. You're getting arrested.
Yeah, you're
shooting at the police or whatever it is. But
yeah.
Never, ever does it come up that, oh, by the way, I forgot to see grandma.
Stop by grandma's house. Don't
it's
forget.
It's very important. You can't leave him behind.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is it. Hey, de când de când ai somni fere și cum nu iau pastile camarera dă-mi o bere. Beau în cinstă soare. When I take my pills, I take them down with a beer.
Și el bea în cinstă mea prin căloare de la fel.
Am hibernat. I was hibernating, now I'm awake.
Deep stuff.
You mean he was in the emergency room is what he means.
In this music video, he's got like dreads.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right.
Dreads big in Romania?
Nope.
Yeah. Yes.
They are now, though. Oh, I'm sure the Romanians are so open-minded about things, as
right.
I seem to recall. That Ceausescu guy was just he was a pleasure. He was
yeah,
a dream. They were literally ripping people's fingernails off for walking across the street the wrong way. Yeah. All right.
That's nice. He decided not to overstay his visa.
Yeah. Well,
and you know what? It's great that he showed up because I went to see Tom Jones on Saturday.
Yeah.
He didn't
as
show up.
As we were at the
connector open for him.
Yeah. You know what? I would have shot a connector. At least we would have heard some music.
What happened with
Tom? We're at the House of Blues, and, you know, he's supposed to come on at 7:30. It's now about 8:15. You know, and everyone's there drinking,
right,
buying other drinks. And,
yeah.
And they just made some lame announcement. Yeah, the concert's been postponed. Now, these were tickets where he had postponed last October. Wow. So that's another
postponed. And it was a last minute thing where you,
yes,
everyone showed up?
I've never had that happen. I thought it was a joke. I was like, no, they're kidding. Connector Ray's going to come out now.
He needs a better manager, Bronco.
Yeah.
Bronco had found out about that. He would have sent Connector over.
Tom Jones needs Bronco.
Connector,
yes.
Go fill some
Connector,
time.
Connector, Tom Jones is blowing off the House of Blues. You got to go.
Last minute gig.
Now,
I cannot go. I am on pills and beer.
I heard Tom Jones did a fabulous concert the night before in Detroit. So maybe he was. But the thing is, why would you wait until curtain time?
No, you don't.
How about that morning?
I know why, because you want everyone to show up and spend some money.
Yes,
not that Bronco's ever done that.
No,
you get the money.
Bronco probably has. I think my guess is they couldn't wake him up. That would be my guess. That's a bad sign right
there.
That
is. People are complaining about it.
Some of Connector's pills.
Yeah. They have been known to wake you up a little bit.
Get Connector and his pills over there.
And Tom Jones, get on plane. Otherwise, your visa going to expire. All right. Right now, let's find out from Judy what's coming up at the top of the hour in the newsroom.
Well, is it time to reinstate the death penalty in Illinois? We'll have that at 6.
Violetta's got the WGN from Trouble Spots, being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
You got to know when the whole of
that's a big day for gamblers in America.
I can only imagine how you might have reacted when you saw the Supreme Court ruling today.
Well, if I could have gotten out of bed, I would have done a happy dance. But instead, I just sort of...
You're like, yay!
Hey, yeah, what's that?
Just like you did a Boris.
I did a full Boris right there, yeah. So the Supreme Court today handed down a decision which takes to the states the ability to decide state by state whether you want to have sports gambling in your state. Now, New Jersey's been doing this, right? Mm-hmm. And then there was the federal government's like, hey, wait a second, you know, this, you can't have betting on sports. That's interstate commerce.
All right.
And the Supreme Court, I consider it to be their infinite wisdom in this particular case, decided that they can't have it. I mean, to me, I don't really bet on a whole lot of things. A little bit of football and you know, during the NFL season, I don't know anybody who doesn't have some wager or two,
right?
On a Sunday.
Well, those like DraftKings and FanDuel became so popular that there was like increased interest in even the sport of football during the season. Then these kind of challenges came to it, like, is this allowed? Should it be okay? And it sounds like the Supreme Court said, "Hey, states, it's up to you.
Yeah,
it can be okay."
And the thing is, it's happening anyway.
That's true.
It's happening, obviously in Vegas, there's sports gambling. It's been going on in Nevada for a long time. Mm-hmm. New Jersey was like, well, why can't we do it if Nevada can do it? And then, is this really a states' rights issue? So the Supreme Court has ruled on. Now, the question is, what happens in Illinois? Let's just talk about where it counts here. In Illinois, will the legislature decide that they want to allow for sports gaming on the internet or in sports parlors, if you will? I mean, that's, those kinds of you go to Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the sports books are gigantic in Vegas. And they're fun and they're entertaining.
It's a destination for sure.
A total destination. And a lot of guys, I don't know, guys, exactly who that might be, like myself, who would choose a hotel based on their
proximity
sports book, on that casino sports book. Like it used to be that Caesars was the one, then Bellagio had an amazing one.
Mm-hmm.
But Caesars was the classic one.
I always like to see the odds of the Cubs before the season began, because it always seems like it was remarkably higher than it, better than it should have been for years, when they weren't winning.
So now the question is, what will happen here in Illinois, and what will it look like? So I started calling around. As soon as this happened,
what does this mean?
I called all my guys, and I wanted to find out who knew what about anything.
So do you know any bookies that you might have in an ancillary fashion in your life that perhaps?
No, I don't actually know any bookies that quite honestly.
No.
I don't want to.
Because I wonder if this means everyone's got to break up with their bookie now.
Well, you do wonder that, but I don't want, but in terms of legal guys, right?
The states decide that they're legal.
Right, but now the guys who are doing legal gambling here already, whether it's, the horse interests or the casino interests here. Mm-hmm.
They're already set up for this.
Are they already set up for it? We find out right now because Greg Carlin is with us. He is the co-founder and CEO of Rush Street Gaming. And all right. So obviously, you guys knew that there was a chance that this was going to actually occur and have been planning for a moment like this. What does this look like on the other side? First of all, let's start with the state side. You have to get the state legislature to move forward on this and allow this to happen. What is the likelihood of that, do you think?
Well, it's interesting, Ro and Anna. Thanks for having me on the show, by the way. Many states have actually introduced legislation in anticipation of the Supreme Court decision today. And in fact, there are several states who have passed legislation already authorizing sports betting. For example, West Virginia passed a law recently, as did Mississippi. Actually, the state of New York, where we have a casino up in Schenectady, has a sports betting law on the books, but only for on-premise casinos. So it wouldn't be mobile. It would just be in our casino.
Right.
And then Here in Illinois, we already have the legislation sort of ready to go. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't think it's quite ready to go, but certainly various legislators have been talking about the potential for sports betting and drafting legislation to introduce at some point.
Yeah, they say they have introduced bills already to legalize, and they were pending the Supreme Court outcome. So it seems like they're in a position to move forward quickly if they wanted to.
Yes, there are a few shell bills out there for sure, but now with the Supreme Court ruling, I think that it'll shift into high gear and you'll see a lot more activity.
So there's only a couple weeks left in this particular session. There's not much hope for this session, right?
Hard to say. I would agree with you, Ro, that that's probably the case because the legislature still hasn't approved a budget and there's a whole bunch of other things going on. But certainly by the veto session, hopefully. There'll be some progress.
So the idea is you take this multi-billion-dollar industry and it comes out of the shadows. And supposedly you'd hope then that the sunlight becomes the disinfectant and things are, more on the up and up. I suppose most people would look at this, though, and say there are still ways to have problems with the system and preserve the integrity. And I'd imagine that's where part of the focus has to go moving forward.
Well, you're right, Anne. I think that making this legal and regulated, I think we'll shine the spotlight on it. And like you said, right now there's a tremendous amount of illegal sports betting going on, and it's very hard to monitor and track. And certainly, by regulating it and taxing it, I think it'll be safer for people who want to make sports bets and generate some revenue for the state.
So let's talk about the different models here. Obviously, you got your online model. A lot of people are already doing that. Even with illegal betting, a lot of it happens online. They use these websites that you place your bet digitally, and then, there's a human being that you have to, you make the actual money transaction with. And sometimes there's offshoring where, there's those kinds of things. And then there's the idea of the sports book like you have in Vegas, a traditional sports book that would exist like in a casino, like the casinos here in the Chicago area or a racetrack or whatever it happens to be. You'd have, multiple screens and you'd have tellers and you'd have all that. Where do you think that this more likely falls in Illinois? Do you think it more likely falls in a online where everybody could possibly do it off their phones, or do you think it's more you'll have to go somewhere to take part in sports betting?
Well, I think you'll have both, actually, Ro. I think you're going to have on-premise sports books like you have in Las Vegas, at the various casinos in the state, and then you'll also have a option to bet mobily. If you look at legislation that's been introduced and passed, around the country, most of that legislation has included a mobile element. And in fact, in Nevada, you've been able to bet mobily for the last couple of years. If you sign up at a casino, you can download an app from one of the providers there, MGM, William Hill, Cantor Gaming, and you can actually make both bets while but you have to be in the state of Nevada. You can't if you're outside.
And
of the
it knows
state.
That based on your GPS on your phone, probably, right?
Exactly. There's really good geolocation technology, which can pinpoint your exact location. And if you're outside of the state, you can't make a bet.
That's very interesting because I know that in horse racing nationally, you've been able to take part in horse racing, with these, whether it's ExpressBet or TwinSpires or those kinds of sites, DRF, that allow you to do that.
Horse racing is the one exception. There's a federal law, the U.S. Wire Act, and horse racing, for whatever reason, has an exception, and you're allowed to actually make a bet on a horse race from anywhere, right, intrastate as opposed to interstate.
Right.
the NBA and Major League Baseball are basically already introducing this idea, floating it out there, that they're seeking a fee tied to the total amount of wagering on their contests. Do you think something gets worked out there? Because the league is saying that, you know, a fee's appropriate because the casinos are going to be profiting and the, you know, sports betting companies are going to be profiting off their product, that they need a little piece of that too. And you would wonder, would college sports also reach out and try to cut some kinds of deals? Do you think that kind of thing happens? I know it's looking ahead, but
you know, it's hard to say, but it's interesting though. If you look at the what sports betting will do for the leagues, the professional leagues, and college leagues, certainly. If you use daily fantasy sports as a model, you know, a few years ago, originally the leagues were all very much against sports betting, but then with daily fantasy sports, what they recognized and noticed was that fan engagement was going up. So people were watching more, you know, spending more time watching on TV, going to the games more, selling more. You know, they were selling more merchandise. So the sports leagues themselves, I think, are going to benefit immensely from legal sports betting, you know, without receiving an integrity fee. Hmm. If you look at the model in Europe,
I don't know. You know, with all due respect, I don't know that they're going to look at it the same way you just did.
You might hope so.
I have a sense that they're going to say we need a cut. But you know, Greg, I could be wrong. No. I mean, that's the people who want to get this done. I guess the question is this. Especially for, you know, people, if we are in a moment where everybody say, well, let's be real about this. You know, that seems to be the political sentence of the weekend and now into the week. And now this is a great application for it. Let's be real. People are already doing this. So if the state of Illinois can benefit from this, can make some money off of this, because, you know, you just mentioned that they're going through their budget process. The state has been broke for years. They can't figure out how to make a balance here. This does give them, it's unclear exactly how much money yet, but, you know, there's always people that, you know, legislators, you know, and politicians who are going to claim it's going to be much, you know, much greater than, you know, than it is, just so they can try to cover a hole. But whatever, it's going to be something. It will be good for the state at some point in terms of revenue. Mm-hmm. So what does that, I mean, what, I guess in Illinois, how could they screw it up? I mean, I suppose by not passing it. I mean, the you know, the in terms of expansion, the governor has been sort of very conservative about that. But you know, it's going to be, they're going to have it in Indiana, you know that. They're going to have it in Iowa and Wisconsin, potentially, in Missouri for sure. So it seems like, you know, in the border states, you don't want to get left behind. Is there any fear that this won't happen here in your industry?
Well, it's certainly possible. I mean, when you asked earlier, you know, how could they screw this up? You know, you know, one element to consider is, you know, if the tax rate is too high, it's harder for legitimate operators to compete against illegal operators, right? Mm-hmm. So illegal operators pay zero tax right now and have no regulation. And, you know, we're going to be competing against those folks in a regulated market with paying a tax. So, you know, if you raise the tax rate too high, or if you make it too onerous, it'll be harder to compete, and therefore the business will, you know, will not really take off.
Materialize. And then, and you know, to your point, it is absolutely very true, though. There will be an increase. I mean, you've seen this in the NFL. You know, the you know, this last year, there's been a bit of a downtick in NFL television viewing, but they're also not counting the fact that there are many different ways you can actually consume the NFL now. You can consume it on your phone. And in terms of television ratings, reflecting how many people are actually watching now, when people are watching stuff online, it's not necessarily one for one. They're not getting the exact same sort of monitoring yet. They're working on that. So
no, that's exactly right.
I don't think for a second, when you see those kinds of ratings numbers come out, that they're accurate, because you know that actually more people have more access to this stuff than ever.
True.
And they are more interested in it because of, you know, whether there was sports gaming going on that was illegal, or FanDuel, or any of the rest of that sort of stuff, to your point, which is that people are getting involved. And kids, you know, my dad, I mean, listen, when I was a kid, you know, on the Tribune on a Friday, they'd print out in color on the back page of the sports section, mm-hmm, all the Sunday games. And they would have the line, and they'd have the little intangibles at the bottom. And there was a square for every game, and it had everything. And then we had to pick, my dad and I, mm-hmm, we had to pick, and it was $1 a game, and you had to pay up or someone was going to get hurt. Right. And that was the thing. And that's how, you know, there's, you know, father to son, you know, mm-hmm, and maybe to daughter, whatever it happens to be. There's, you know, that's just a part of, you know, football and a part of the thing. It's always been kind of fun. And I think this is a real opportunity here for the state of Illinois to make some money, do it right. And the question really becomes, will there be plans? And I guess I want to leave it with you this. I know there's a lot more conversation, Greg, before this is all said and done. But, I mean, are there already ideas in the hopper, without giving too much away, for how, you know, physical sites are going to be, as you were just talking about, there are going to be either casinos expand or maybe standalone sports books and things like that to become entertainment venues unto themselves?
Well, certainly we've been preparing for this since the Supreme Court agreed to take on the case a little over a year ago. And if you look at the Nevada model, you see that there's sports books in actual casinos. And, you know, we think that's a good model. Plus, there's the mobile option. So, you know, people who are on their phones or on their computers can make bets if they're, you know, at home watching a game or at a bar watching a game or even at the stadium.
Do they have to book those bets through a licensed casino, though? Or can they do it through a licensed website?
Well, so a website that's actually operated by a casino.
Okay, so they have to be operated by a licensed casino.
Correct.
Okay.
And the in Illinois, the gaming board licenses, you know, there's 10 licensees right now, and there's a lot of scrutiny to be found suitable, and they have a very, you know, very strong regulatory framework in place.
Good to know.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, you're on board.
I'm on board.
You sold him. It was a really tough sell.
Very
Greg,
tough sell,
amazing.
Right? I already came in anticipating. I wanted to pay the most for this car that I could possibly pay, and I'm here.
And you're there.
I'm going to write a check for cash right now. All right, Greg, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for putting up with us.
On the show, guys.
All right, Greg Carlin from Rush Street, CEO of Rush Street. And I think they have a piece of Rivers Casino. That's their that's their thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. All right. Let us now check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, those thunderstorms have rumbled into Chicago.
Oh, have they ever? There are people fleeing for their lives here.
Well, it does look pretty disgusting out, doesn't it?
Yes, it's coming down. It's very, very hard.
They're moving pretty quickly, so they should be out soon.
Thank you, Judy. It was a great meteorological.
If not, take cover.
Right. By the way, Skilling, you can breathe easy. Judy's not taking your job. Rocancho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Stone Pony is joining us, Alex Stone from ABC News.
Got a lot of questions for him.
And this story developing today. Developing story, Alex.
This just in.
Not breaking. This is not breaking news. This is a developing story. American Airlines is joining a growing movement to tighten the leash on emotional support animals on its flights.
Yeah, well, this is something United has done it after they had the incident with that dog in the overhead bin. Even though that wasn't a support animal, nonetheless, they looked at their entire animal policy. Delta has announced a new policy for animals, Alaska Airlines, and today American Airlines with its take on it. And pretty much what they're saying is this era that we've been living in of people can show up at the gate and say, well, I have to carry this fill-in-the-blank pet of multiple different kinds on because it's my emotional support animal. And then worried about getting sued and liability and everything else that they've been allowed on or just not wanting to deal with what is, what isn't, that now they're laying out what is an emotional support animal. Not a service dog or service animal. Those are not touched by any of this, that if you have a true service animal that is licensed and documented and needed for a disability, then that doesn't get touched. But what American says is no longer will there be any comfort animals allowed on that are amphibians, ferrets, goats, hedgehogs, insects, reptiles, rodents, snakes, spiders, sugar gliders, non-household birds like farm poultry, waterfowl, game birds, and birds of prey, animals with
birds of prey.
Yeah, animals with tusks.
Animals with tusks.
That you brought an elephant on board the plane to say this is my comfort animal.
This is my my support elephant.
Nothing with a horn or a hoof, excluding miniature horses, because they can be properly trained service animals, so there could be a miniature horse on your flight. On any animal that is unclean or has an odor, so that means no wild boars, nothing like that, allowed to be service animal or to be comfort animals. Now, if you do have a pet, like a dog or a cat, that isn't covered there, that if you try to bring them on and that you're not claiming them as a pet where they have to stay in the carrier underneath the seat in front of you have to be pretty small. They can't get out. You have to pay for them $145, $150 bucks. That if you are claiming still that they're a comfort animal to bring them on board for free for a medical reason, you now will have to notify American Airlines 48 hours before your flight. Give them a heads up. You have to fill out a bunch of stuff saying that they're not going to bark, they're not going to jump out at people, they're not going to bite, they're not going to pee anywhere on board the plane. Exactly, that would be a no-no.
Yeah, what if it's a long flight and they have to just go to the bathroom? I bet they see that all the time.
On the relieving themselves, that's on a flight over 8 hours. You have to show that if they're going to do it, that they have to do it in a sanitary way.
How do you get that on paper? Literally, how do you get that done? How are they going to do it in a sanitary way? What are they going to... All right, now you just have to go in the cup. I mean, how does that go?
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully they have like a little bit of kitty litter there. I don't know. But you have to prove on a longer flight they're going to be able to do it. But the most important thing is that now you are going to have to bring a documentation from a doctor, from a mental health professional that says, yes, you have a mental health need for this animal and that you have to fly with the animal. And during that time, before, you know, immediately people are going to start just pumping out these form letters, but American Airlines says during that 48-hour period that they could follow up on that and contact the doctor and ask. And then
A review period.
Yeah, in that 48-hour period, if that dog or cat or whatever it is going to come on board as a comfort animal.
They should have the Chicago Aviation Police handle that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they take no prisoners. Remember that poor Dr. Dow?
No, it might not go so well.
Yeah.
So, in other words, that person who tried to bring the support peacock on board, because we saw that story, that's not going to be allowed anymore? Is that
I think that would fall under non-household birds. So that's not going to be allowed. And the airline will decide now if it could be one that is or isn't. But there's so many people. People have tried, you know, they've gone online and bought those the vests for their dogs, and they're a bunch of bull. I mean, the vest, if it's not a true service animal, the vest doesn't mean anything with these ones they just buy online, but it makes it look like an official pet or an official comfort animal of some kind. That's not going to fly any longer. You can't bring your pet out unless it is considered a true comfort pet to sit. I've had them sitting on the seats next to me and people feeding them and buckling them in. American Airlines is saying enough is enough. In fact, they say between 2016 and 2017, the number of onboard support animals that people have claimed increased to 40% on American Airlines, and they say now too many people are taking advantage of it.
Wow. There was a support husky on the plane next to me earlier this year. And I was like, how are you going to fit the husky on the plane? But they say the dog, the emotional support animal, has to fit in the area in front of you, in front of your seat. Like, you can't...
It's got to curl up.
It's a little different if it's a true service animal, but in these, you know, like, if you had a miniature horse and it's a service animal, that's going to be a little tough in that seat area. But if it is a comfort animal, they're supposed to fit right around you right there.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. I you know what? I think that people, you know, you give Americans an inch, we will take a mile. That is how we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so now the airlines are taking the mile back and trying to take it back to an inch because there are people who really need, you know, there's seizure animals. There's obviously, you know, blind people. They're really dedicated, well-trained, professional animals that
those are service animals, and I mean they should have all of the documentation that won't be impacted at all, right? But these are the ones where people are bringing
emotional support. Is I like my dog and I don't want it going underneath, and I get that.
Well,
I,
you have to get that. There's been some problems in the underneath
and you don't want to pay the fee, because if it's a comfort animal, it's free on board, so it's a way to save a little money. You get to cuddle your dog the entire time, your kid gets to play with it. But that's going to go away, and already has on many of the other airlines. Now American is getting on board as well.
Said peanuts.
Okay.
I just looked up sugar
Watch
glider.
Watch out for the tusked animal.
Didn't you say sugar glider? Sugar glider is a nocturnal... possum in the marsupial class.
Ew!
And it looks like a flying squirrel.
Yeah, that's what they are. So you could be in the last row and shoot them up to first class and have them grab you a bag.
I'm sorry, sugar glider. You're going to have to use the bathroom, the lavatory back there in your own class. Now, the elephant can stay up here. All right.
Oh, gosh.
All right. And then we want to make sure that the elephant goes appropriately on this 8-hour flight. That's what we want to make sure. All right. Ew. We wish, thank you, Alex. As always, you've explained
Leave
this.
Leave your hedgehog and bird of prey at home.
Bird of prey. How about a guy walking? walking up bar to the Falcon. You know, like, you know, he's got the leather glove and he's got the Falcon. He's got the chain, the whole thing.
Oh, gee.
You know.
You know it's happened. You just know it's happened.
And those things, have you ever been around those? And they look at you and they're like, oh, my God, they're going to pick my eye out. I can never get over that. The Kirk Douglas movie about the Viking. You know, you see that and you're like, all right, that's never going to end well.
Can't see him the same way.
Mm-mm.
Twice.
All right, Stone Pony. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right, there goes Alex Stone, ABC News.